hey, Sam, you look politically enraged. Do you want to talk about it? Me either. Let's talk about movies.
Don't vote for the Liberal National Party come this next election, any Australian. I'm taking a definitive stance now. A vote for the LNP is a vote against Australia.
All right, take three.
That's all I've got to say on the matter. Should we read some tweets, Cal?
God damn it. Yeah, sure.
At AussieMonkey95 says, what the fuck is this? It says favorite non-Batman movie starring an actor who played Batman. And then he's given a list. But I'm like, what's the relevance of this?
Is this a pitch for an episode concept?
I don't know. But his favorite Keaton movies, Birdman, Kilmer movies, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, Clooney movies, Ocean's 11, Bale is The Prestige, Affleck, Argo, Arnett, TMNT, Out of the Shadows, Patterson, Water for Elephants.
TMNT, Out of the Shadows is very good.
Surely Goblet of Fire is better than Water for Elephants.
Of the year that year. Cool. Yeah, I just did we call for that? Like, did we ask people for their favorite non-Batman?
Nope.
Cool.
Nope. So thanks for nothing, Matt. I mean, that's interesting and all. I mean, some of these picks I agree with. Again, Water for Elephants though. I hear Water for Elephants is good. I haven't watched it. I like Twilight. I would have given it to Twilight or Goblet of Fire.
Yeah, he probably would've.
I'm sure there's a better Clooney movie than Ocean's 11.
Maybe.
Up in the Air, maybe?
I don't... Now that I'm trying to think of any George Clooney movie I've actually seen, besides Batman.
Batman and Robin. The best Batman and the best Batman movie.
Look, it's not...
Next tweet.
Fair enough.
Is from at Riley is Good.
What a roller coaster of an episode we've had already.
Riley says, like a day after I said I wouldn't watch Xenon because I don't want to watch trash, I started a Resident Evil movie marathon.
Love it.
So I am a hypocrite.
Crap!
I'm not disappointed to have missed out on Xenon. Yeah, fair enough. Xenon, while I enjoyed, is diminishing returns.
Oh, totally. Like, watch the first one. Don't bother with the sequels.
Yeah.
Have you watched any of the Resident Evil movies?
I think I've watched the first one.
Okay, I've watched them all except for the newest one, and I don't remember a damn thing about them.
Fair enough.
That is all I have to say.
Understandable. Have a nice day.
You too. Bye.
It is... that's it. That's all the tweets.
Well, slacking
off. This is
going to
be a big episode, so that's probably for the best.
Yeah, I think so. So we should play the music then?
We should crack on.
All right, play the music!
Thanks, Jeff.
Hello and welcome to the Video Shop Podcast about what you're watching, maybe. I'm your host, Cal.
I'm your host, Sam, and today we are catching up on all the movies and TV shows that we missed from the last 6 weeks. Because Cal was on holiday, we did Brianuary, this is like the catch-up now. So all the catch-up things, spoilers for most of the things we're going to talk about. I guess I'll put a list in the description.
Nah, list them off now.
French Dispatch, Matrix Resurrections, Doctor Who Are the Daleks, Book of Boba Fett, Encanto, Don't Look Up, Ghostbusters Afterlife, Five Cream, Bump, Wolf Like Me.
Okay.
But probably no spoilers for the last two or three because you haven't seen them.
Correct. Are we just going to go with the arbitrary order that they were written down on a shared note?
I think we should. They were mostly written down in the order they came out, so I think that's fine.
Fair enough. I wouldn't
French
know.
French Dispatch, Cal. Spoilers for the French Dispatch. What did you think of the French Dispatch?
Okay, so this is the only Wes Anderson movie I've seen, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, that's a bad place to start.
Apparently, like this is the most Wes Anderson-y movie.
I was going to say, it is the most Wes Anderson-y Anderson movie there is. You've seen Fantastic Mr. Fox, surely?
No.
It seems like a movie you'd like.
I liked the book as a kid.
There you go. I was right. Yeah, what did you think of Wes Anderson, the movie?
It looked beautiful.
As do most of his films, yeah.
I won't claim to get it.
There wasn't much to get in this one. There was barely a story.
It was fun, but it did feel like a series of short stories, and I kind of don't know why it was a movie rather than a series of short stories. Because apparently it's based on The New Yorker and some specific articles written for that publication.
Sounds about right.
And so it's a sort of dramatized version of those, and I kind of would just like to read this as a magazine.
Yeah, right. I kind of liked how it jumped around. I liked, with every kind of new story, like a new actor would pop up that I'm like, oh, it's a Wes Anderson regular.
Okay. I was just like, oh, this guy must, like, I knew Wes Anderson had a lot of pull, but yeah, we're getting, like, really star-studded, like, secondary casts here. Like, Willem Dafoe just
Moonrise
sort of sat
Kingdom?
Around.
You haven't seen Moonrise Kingdom?
Nah, man. Fuck. I'm pretty sure we've all talked right about this before.
I feel like we have, but it just reinforces that I'll have to get you to come around and we'll watch a bunch of them. Because I'm always down for some Anderson.
Fair enough.
Some Wessie boy Anderson. Mm. Yeah, it's good. It's a bit hard to talk about.
It's, like, I think it's the kind of thing that I think would have been, like, studied in English classes specifically because it's very digestible in little chunks. So you can write your entire English thesis on one part of one movie and just watch
again. You just watch the Owen Wilson bit that's like 3 minutes long.
That's so nice.
That bit was so good. But there is something. There was, like, it's weird that it went from that to like a really boring one.
I mean, the
actually, what was the second one? The second one might have been the painting one, which I really like.
Yeah, and then the next one was the one I think people are going to think is the really boring one. The revolution students in Paris.
Paris. But I even mind that. What's his name? Timothy Charmaine?
Yeah.
Is, like, in everything now?
Yeah. The thing about that one is that it went, like, 5 Inception layers deep.
It went so deep, but I liked that one too. And the last one was the one with a chef. I liked them all.
I liked that one a lot.
Yeah.
I might
like how it became animated for a bit. That's a Wes Anderson.
Man, and just...
He does, like...
Everyone that narrated, all the writers, just had incredible voices. Like, they were just really nice to listen to, which I think is what gave me this, like, audiobook sort of feeling, which made me think, why aren't I reading this?
Yeah.
So, which is probably exactly what the intention was, to make this feel like the source material.
Totally. Yeah, I liked it.
I watched a think piece on the strange, like, stiff, on rhythm, like, acting style that everybody was sort of forced into. Like,
yeah.
And yeah, like, it does seem like this movie's hypnotic to watch.
Oh, very. Very.
Yeah, like, I think that's
Isle
the way
for Dogs?
To describe it.
You haven't seen Isle for Dogs?
No, I've seen a lot of memes from Isle of Dogs. The is it worth it? And then they open it up and it's the clip of something. And then it's it's worth it, and they fight over it. I've seen that.
it's a good funny scene in the movie, too.
A lot of good memes around that.
It's not my favourite Wes Anderson. My favourite Wes Anderson film is either Moonrise Kingdom or Grand Budapest Hotel. Depends on the day you ask me.
So I assume they don't all do this weird anthology thing.
No. They very much will tell a story in a non-linear way.
Mm.
Often. Yeah. Very often they'll do that. I wouldn't say very often. Grand Budapest did that. Usually it's quite a linear story, but they're very stylized like this. They all have that very unique style, but they aren't all anthologies like this one was, no.
Right, okay. So I think...
In fact, I don't think any of his others have been anthologies.
Okay. All right, that's somewhat good to know, because I like these, but I kind of just want to watch one of them at a time.
Yeah, so his other movies are like, in the, you know, a full story of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Moonrise Kingdom, I really like. Because it's also a Kids on Bikes movie. Yeah, we all know here at the video shop how much Sam loves a Kids on Bikes story. They don't actually ride bikes in it, but if you go onto my website and read my thesis on this, you don't have to ride a bike for it to be a Kids on Bikes movie.
God damn it. It's just got to be a coming-of-age story of a certain age.
Basically, but there's certain rules around it, and they have to have some kind of freedom that they take. The bike is a freedom that they take, and in Moonrise Kingdom, instead of the bike, he's like a Boy Scout who can navigate the land. So that's how they gain their freedom, not through bikes, but through his skill as a Boy Scout.
Fair enough.
You know, based on my own assessment of what a Kids on Bikes movie is.
Fair enough.
yeah.
Yeah.
Grand Budapest is great too, though.
Fair enough.
It's got Flash from the new Spider-Man movies in it. He's the main character.
He was also in French Dispatch, ever so briefly.
He was very briefly in French Dispatch, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I feel like I could just sort of meander for a long time on French Dispatch, but how far through the recording are we?
419 minutes.
Beats, according to fucking GarageBand. I hate.
Why didn't you swap it to time?
Because I forget. Because I've also got to turn off the count in and the metronome. Man,
there Garage must be Band, a way to set the default to do it always.
I'm sure there is, but.
Anyway. Yeah. What was I going to say? Something. I'm a vampire.
Oh yeah,
it's already so hot in my cupboard and I'm already losing my mind. It was hot at work. I lost my mind there too.
Yeah. Heat's not good for the soul
or the brain. Cause I don't prescribe to the soul. I don't think.
Fair enough.
Philosophical podcast. We should just do a Wes Anderson episode at some point.
Fair enough. I'd be down to watch most of the things that you've said. I've heard that they're quite good. I do want to watch Fantastic Mr. Fox. I do want to watch Isle of Dogs or Isle of Dogs.
Those two, Moonrise Kingdom, Grand Budapest, The Dungeon Ring Limited. Probably should watch his first film because I've actually never seen his first film.
Mm.
But I don't know.
Fair enough.
It's less stylized. I also didn't see, what was his previous one before this one?
Couldn't tell you, man. Haven't seen any of
them. I'm trying to remember. It wasn't Isle of Dogs, was it? I think there was one between that I didn't see. Anyway, yeah, he's good. Matrix?
Sure.
Resurrections?
Sure.
Spoilers for Matrix Resurrections.
Now, there's going to be a theme this episode of shit that Cal hasn't prepared for very well. Like, because I watch Matrix Resurrections.
Cal, that's the theme of this entire podcast, my friend.
So I've watched...
Cal doesn't prepare.
Fuck you, I watched so many things. So I watched The Matrix, like the first one.
Yeah. Did you see in the final shot before he takes off, they do that spin around him with the phone booth. And in the background, you can see like a Dimmicks bookshop because they shot it in Melbourne or Sydney.
God damn it. That's okay. So I watched the first Matrix movie.
Well, because they tint it all blue, it, like, pops out because it's a big red sign. Oh, anyway.
yes, so I watched
original Matrix.
The original Matrix and then this. I have not... I've seen the other two so long ago that I remember nothing from them. I think there was a guy with white dreadlocks.
There was. I watched all three and the Animatrix. So, Mr. I watched so many things. Me, I'm Cal.
Fuck you. I watched so many things. And I've watched... How many episodes where we just talked about like one movie have I ended up watching like five fucking movies in preparation? What?
Fair enough, buddy. Fair enough. I mean, I watched everything you did plus more, so...
Sure. Let's
and
go
I read like... I've read like five books so far this year.
Sure, let's go with that.
And I'm actually working, so...
Sure, let's go with that. So, Matrix 4 was pretty funny.
I liked it. I know everyone hates it, but what I really
don't get why.
It didn't take itself seriously at all. And it was like, hey, you know what's dumb? The Matrix. And I was like, yeah, The Matrix is dumb.
Well, just the whole Warner Brothers is making us make a sequel when we don't want to storyline.
Oh, so funny.
Quite funny. For that to be interrupted by a character called Bugs Bunny is pretty cool.
So funny.
like, there's... like, apparently a lot of the lore stuff around the machines working with humans and stuff like that is all set up in the Animatrix.
Yes, which I have seen, and there's precedent for that. Some of the precedent is in weird, cerebral, fucked up animated shorts.
I've seen the Animatrix more recently than the others, like, but the only one I really remember is the guy running faster than...
Ah, oh, so good.
Yeah.
He runs so fast, he breaks out of the Matrix. So good.
Mm.
So good. The Animatrix in some ways is better than anything in the Matrix movies.
Mm. Yeah, I mean...
In some of the Animatrix. Some of them are terrible.
It seems like that is a pretty good format to explore some of the ideas in the Matrix. And yeah. I was worried when I watched the first one that I'm just not going to want to talk about any of these ideas on the show. Because,
Which is kind of why we didn't do an episode on the Matrix.
Mm. Like, it's one of those existential enough things that it's like, there's not a whole lot of point actually discussing it. You're not going to get to the bottom of anything because this is trying to get to the bottom of, like, the biggest questions in life and reality that we have. And
I'll give you the answer, Cal, and it's leave me plugged in. I don't want to know.
Oh, dude.
The real world, like, if someone just was like, hey... Here's a Matrix.
Mm.
We plug you in. We take some of your energy, but you otherwise live a godlike existence in a digital world. And I'm like, in the digital world, can I tell?
Mm.
No. All right. Plug me in, baby. Let's go.
Like, there'd be part of me that's like hesitant to lose my friends and family.
No, plug them in too.
Well, that's the thing. If you can plug them in too, who gives a fuck? Like... Yeah, if they're feeding me, like, protein paste in an IV drip made of bugs or whatever the fuck, or seaweed or some shit, that's fine. I don't care. I'm not eating it. I'm not tasting it.
No, and if your brain thinks you're eating a yummy burger, what's the difference?
Yeah, because you know what else, right? Now nothing you do in the Matrix necessarily has any kind of, like, larger environmental problems.
Yep.
Like... Sam could just eat all the meat he wants.
Yeah, yeah, guilt-free meat.
Yeah, and like, I don't know, man. Like, the Matrix seems like, if it worked, which it doesn't, it would solve so many problems. Like,
solved a lot of problems for the machines, I'll tell you that much.
It should solve a lot of problems for humanity.
It should, but humanity rejected it.
And look, I'm all for freedom and making choices and all of that stuff. Like, that's fine, but I play video games all the time. Like, where I enjoy the choices that I get to make within the restrictive boundaries of the video game.
The problem with the Matrix is it then shows me the real world, and it doesn't go, look at the sun, real sunlight touching your skin.
Mm.
It goes, hang out in this cave... with a bunch of sweaty people jumping up and down to beat music.
Mm.
I'm like,
yeah, I don't want that. Eat paste made from reconstituted sweat.
I'm going to go to the Dimmicks bookshop in the Matrix.
Yeah, and just read a nice book. God damn it. Anyway,
But Resurrections, right, is a movie. And I think Keanu Reeves and... oh, what's her name? Who plays...
Trinity.
Trinity.
I couldn't tell you. I don't think I've seen her in all that much besides the Matrix movies.
I think they both do an awesome job in all, like, kind of three of the roles they have to play.
Yeah.
Neil Patrick Harris is a fun villain.
Mm.
My only problem is that the stuff with Agent Smith didn't make any fucking sense.
Yeah, it really didn't.
And, like, at the end, he was, like, faster than Neil Patrick Harris was for some reason.
Well,
they got someone who was, like, a charisma void.
Mm.
Like, because that guy was in the new James Bond, right? No Time to Die.
Mm.
But he was, like, the goody two-shoes, you know, CIA guy.
Right.
Who's just a bit of a bitch.
Yeah.
Remember that guy?
I think so, yeah.
I think it's the same guy.
Could be.
I'm like, you can't replace the GOAT with him.
See, that's the thing. I don't think he did necessarily a bad job.
The GOAT being Hugo Weaving, yes, but, mind you.
Yeah.
I think he did. I didn't think he did a very good job in this.
I just think that I was constantly comparing him to Hugo Weaving, and therefore there's no way he could have left that bar.
And that might be true. In which case, I go, why include the character here at all? He didn't really add anything for me.
I assume they wrote the whole thing with Hugo Weaving in mind and then just couldn't get him.
What's he doing? Why couldn't he do it?
I think he's just at the point where he doesn't have to take things he doesn't want to do. And he's
literally only does stuff he wants to do now. And you know what? Props to him, man.
Totally, like, man.
But who they should have got, right,
yeah,
is Samara Weaving.
I mean, look. She's great.
Right? And at least she would have that familiarity, the family name, but also be, like, totally different,
but
so that it kind of plays better.
Yeah, I think going more different is the way to go there.
I don't think this guy was too different, but not different enough, yeah, and not similar enough.
It was uncanny.
They needed to go harder one way or the other.
Yeah, it was an uncanny valley thing.
He didn't really talk like Hugo Weaving, but like they were like, he's the same guy because they had the reflection in the mirror that was shattered.
Yeah.
But then he wasn't different enough that he was his own guy.
Yeah.
That was my problem.
Yeah. And like, if you're going to do that, you needed to have cast it. Well, not even necessarily cast it better, but it needed to have either been this guy's doing a Hugo Weaving impression or he's fucking not. Like,
yeah,
it was too close. Yeah.
But for the most part, everyone else's performances were good.
The plot,
like the returning characters.
The plot didn't make a great deal of sense.
No.
And the Mr. Smith powered like boss rush thing in the middle, where it was like, here's all the characters Cal doesn't recognize because he hasn't seen the other two movies. And I was like, oh, okay. And then they fight for no reason. Like, I'm pretty sure they go, but Smith, why are you trying to stop us? And he goes, eh? For the lols, mate.
Yeah.
And then just starts.
Yeah. Yeah. The thing is, people, I think what I kind of don't get is why people hate it so much, as if Matrix 2 and 3 were perfect movies that everybody loved.
And I loved the writer's room stuff about trying to make Matrix 4 the game, where they're trying to nail down what the Matrix even is and why people found it so mindfucky in the first place, as if they didn't even know.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
I can feel a lot of organic, natural material coming from that.
Yeah. And I liked all that. And the thing is, I'm like, do whatever. I don't like the Matrix 3 is just okay. It's actually really boring. Matrix 3 is the most boring Matrix.
Yeah.
It's got an amazing final fight scene, but it's too little too late.
Yeah.
Cause the rest of the movie is super bad.
Fair enough.
And people hate the third Matrix, but now they're talking like the original trilogy is ruined by this movie, and this movie brings nothing new to the lore. I'm like, what are you talking about?
I so don't care about this franchise. So, like, yeah. I'm not the person to really get in the shoes of a hardcore fan.
Like, me, I was going to say, but that's also, like, me too. Like, I love the first one. It's an iconic action movie that changed, you know, it's... There's few movies that truly change cinema.
Mm.
And The Matrix was one of them. And the sequels are all... I think they're all okay.
Mm.
But nothing hits the height of the first one. Including 2 and 3 and this one.
Mm. Fair enough.
It doesn't. But overall, I actually thought it was pretty fun.
Yeah, it was a totally fine time. I probably wouldn't have seen this if we weren't doing the podcast. And I don't think that was the wrong decision. That would have been the wrong decision.
No, I would have, but that was just out of pure curiosity. I'm like, what does a fourth Matrix movie look like? I can't believe they're even making this.
Yeah.
And Keanu Reeves and I'm going to look up her name who plays Trinity.
Yeah, because she definitely deserves to be named. Man, I liked some of the surrealist stuff in this in the early
Carrie Ann Moss. I should remember that.
Carrie Ann Moss?
Yeah.
Cool. I will try and remember that because she's got such a... Like, she has a distinct face and she does a lot of the heavy lifting here. Like, Keanu Reeves is... Like, I don't think anybody would argue that Keanu Reeves is a great actor.
How dare you, sir? You have thrown down a gauntlet.
He's just fine. Like, he's not terrible.
He's a goddamn national treasure. Like, you bite your tongue.
He doesn't reach the lows of, like, Nicolas Cage. But he definitely doesn't reach the highs of Nicolas Cage.
Fair enough. Carrie Ann Moss is in a ton of stuff. She's in Jessica Jones. She's the
Fuck! Of course!
She's in tons of stuff, but that's what I know you would have seen.
Oh, man, she's really good in that.
Yeah.
She's like one of the few pieces of connecting tissue between all of those Netflix shows.
Man, Jessica Jones was so good.
Yeah. Jessica Jones was really good.
Devil.
Yeah. And look, I liked Luke Cage.
Yeah, I was dropping off at that point. The only thing with those shows is, as much as I'm liking the new run of Disney Plus Marvel shows, none of them have hit the heights of Daredevil or Jessica Jones yet.
Yeah, I don't think they have. None of them. And look, part of it is that Hawkeye is a kid show.
They're all a bit kids show, though, I think is the thing.
A little bit.
And I get
bit.
That. Like, they're for families, but look, there was something really good about seeing, you know, someone's head get hammered in with a car door.
I think for me, the biggest problem, like the biggest disappointment is Loki. That I was expecting, like...
Oh, you see, Loki's one of the ones that I wasn't disappointed by, but that's because I didn't expect much from it.
Yeah, I was expecting,
like... I get it. Everyone loves Loki. They're going to make it, like, you know, it's going to be Loki shenanigans the whole time, whatever. And I'm like, oh, actually, I'm kind of interested in this, and it's a lot of, like, philosophical discussion. I'm like, cool, I like this.
But see, the philosophical discussion stuff's fine. I was expecting an action adventure, though, with a trickster god using illusion magic and crazy bullshit. Loki uses illusions maybe twice in the whole show. I know that's probably an exaggeration, but
I'm sure that's not true.
But like, he dresses up as himself in a different costume once, and that's the only
off. And we are 30 minutes in.
Okay, yeah, all right, we should move on. But yeah,
Doctor Who, Eye of the Daleks, Cal.
It's that one. We're here. Who boy?
I had fun with it. I thought it was way better than last year's New Year's special.
But it was just an episode, wasn't it? Like, this wasn't
all
a special.
Just episodes.
I don't know. It felt like it just didn't reach any highs for me, which is, and I know that I've been complaining that like the finales and the specials are just trying to outdo the ones before it, but this really felt pretty basic. Like, it should have just been an episode.
I did like, though, that it was like, you know, we're doing a time loop story, and it kind of paid off the whole thing with the TARDIS being broken from the Flux storyline.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Daleks were kind of menacing.
The ticking clock was really good.
Really well implemented. The mechanics of how it all worked were really nice.
Yeah.
It was super simple, and I liked it for that. It was just a problem that the Doctor needed to solve.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, like, I don't know. It suffers from the same issues I've had with the rest of the season so far. Like, I don't think any of these characters needed to have been any of these characters. This is the kind of thing that could have happened to any Doctor, any companion, any... like, any side characters, any random assortment of other people. The Doctor didn't even necessarily have to be there. It could have been a random assortment of other people who could have solved this problem and gone on the same adventure. Yeah. And that's probably
more damning than I mean it to be. And no Doctor and Yaz kiss at midnight? Very disappointing.
Sure. I mean, Yaz can do better.
I know Yaz probably can do better.
I know that
than a like dysfunctional, distant alien.
I don't get it. Like, people talk about this chemistry between the two, and I'm like, all it is like Yaz makes bedroom eyes at the doctor for like 5 seconds, and then the show just moves on, never acknowledges it, and everybody latches on like, whoa, this is a huge important like moment and we need to like ship it hard, and it's like, just what?
I think maybe you never would have heard past Sam saying this, but maybe we need a bit more romance back in Doctor Who.
No, we don't, Sam.
I was the I poo-pooed Rose and the Doctor. I poo-pooed all that. And I don't think the Doctor should be with anyone, right? But even, like, the stuff with the Doctor and River Song, like, I think Doctor Who's been a little romance light of late.
Okay.
And maybe needs a bit more of that. Look, it doesn't necessarily have to be Doctor and Companion.
I can see why people are hungering for something like that. I don't get why people are latching on to the Doctor and Yaz when it's, like, we saw it with Martha and the Doctor, but with, like, this time around, there's even less interaction, like, romantic interactions from the Doctor. Like, I don't understand why people are so...
Yeah, it does feel like they've brought it a little bit out of left field. I don't know, maybe I'd rewatch it and see them dropping it. They dropped it kind of throughout this season a little bit. They seeded it throughout.
I don't think the Doctor is paying the slightest bit of attention to what Yaz is thinking or feeling at all.
Oh, I agree, but I think that's the point.
I think that is the point. But then it's like, at least the 10th Doctor was sort of like appropriately like acknowledging it and was distancing himself because he wasn't interested.
He was like, hey, Rose Tyler, we can never see each other again. Love you, bye. David Tennant was a jerk about it.
But like, with Martha, it was... you might want this, but I don't. So let's just be friends, eh? And we're just moving on.
Yeah.
And they at least acknowledged it as part of the story. It really does feel like the 13th Doctor is in a completely separate show than all of the companions.
Fair enough.
I don't know. I didn't mean to go on a tangent about the rest of the season, because this episode was pretty good.
It was pretty good. And I'm interested to see what the rest of the specials are like. And then it's the end of the Whittaker era, which is really... It doesn't feel like it's lasted very long,
dude.
Which is as many seasons as... like Capaldi or Smith.
It's just been so much downtime in between the seasons.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
And I think it's partly BBC budget, which hopefully they can, with Russell T. Davis and co-sponsoring it with another production company, hopefully will mean they can get some consistency back. Because I think that is part of the problem. Think about early, up until like season, what, 6? We had a season a year, except for the one David Tennant break year where they had
four specials instead of, a whole season.
Which they're doing this year. But that's still not as bad as taking a whole year off.
And
between Capaldi seasons, they had 2 Christmas specials and that was it.
Yeah.
Which means there was nearly a 3-year gap between seasons.
Yeah. And look, that's... I think a season of specials as a tradition for, like this is the time we need to take to pass the torch... where we get the new showrunner ready, the new doctor ready, and what we want to do for that whole first season. We'll do all that while the other guys are just filming 4 specials.
Well, they've already filmed those specials. Jodie Whittaker's filmed her final scene, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Because we still don't know who the next doctor is.
Yeah. I mean...
And I hope we don't. I don't want to find out until... Jodie Whittaker regenerates on screen.
I'm never, like, I won't look for anything about it, and I will absolutely know before we go, before the episode
100%.
Happens. And I hate 100%. That. When I first saw David Tennant on screen, like, that was the first and probably only time where I watched a regeneration not knowing what the next Doctor looked like.
Same.
Like, and I want that again...
kind of the same, because I watched the classic stuff on telly when they broadcast, because the ABC would broadcast it every weeknight going through all of it. And as a kid, I didn't have like the internet really to look up like episode guides or doctors really. I had like a like a magazine dad had given me that like had all the doctors in it. So I knew what they all looked like. I knew who they all were, but I had no idea when they were going to regenerate.
Yeah.
So suddenly I'd be watching and then bam, there's a new doctor. I'd be like they'd regenerate. I'd be like, oh shit.
Yeah. Yeah, like what
like
I watched
I knew
was,
who it was gonna,
an important
I
thing.
I knew who it was going to be, but I didn't know it was going to happen.
Mm. And I don't necessarily think that's how each thing should go, but I do kind of miss the concept of the doctor can just trip on a brick and be a new person and has to deal with that for a little bit. Like,
while I understand why they didn't, can you imagine if Matt Smith's first episode was Journey's End, end of season 4, the doctor's been exterminated, the Earth has been stolen, and the doctor, like, regenerates and has to deal with a new body,
dude,
like, midway through a major conflict.
You could merge those scripts of...
Totally.
Of 11th Hour and Journey's End. You absolutely could.
Just tweak the villains to be the Daleks instead.
Mm. Well, because the actual villain plot in 11th Hour isn't the good bit. It's everything else. It's all the character interactions. So...
Totally. 100%. Yeah.
So, you know, move all that to the next episode, and yeah, I don't know. I think there's something that can be done there, but we're way off topic again.
Yeah, Eye of the Daleks, fine.
Pretty good.
Better than last year, I thought. Actually, maybe the best of the New Year specials?
Yeah, could be.
Let me think. I think it is.
Mm. I don't know, man.
There was that one where the Dalek built its own body. That was kind of interesting, but like,
that
it
was
felt
pretty
really
fun.
Cheap.
And it sort of did try, like, it at least tried to make Dalek scary again.
And it was fairly successful at that. Like, the way it, like, latched onto people was kind of cool.
Mm.
Last year's one was disappointing. Like, you had Jack Harkness back and did nothing with him. You had the three companions, so you had four companions.
Yeah.
I like Jack breaking the Doctor out of prison. That was good.
Yeah.
But that was about it.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, there's, yeah, not
no,
much
the
to
rest of that
about.
Episode, I barely remember.
Mm.
It's like the Daleks versus the Daleks or something. Anyway.
We should move on.
Yes, to the Book of Boba Fett. Spoilers for the Book of Boba Fett.
For the first
so you're
five
episodes in.
Is that... That's,
yes. For, yeah.
That's
up
no
to date,
more,
I
yeah?
think.
Yeah, cool.
And I think there's only two more. So okay. It might even be worth us just holding off and doing an episode on it in 2 weeks. What do you reckon?
Look, I'm kind of down. Maybe we should talk about just episode 5, considering it's basically not a Book of Boba Fett episode.
Sorry, you not episode 5, you mean season 3, episode 1?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. How, like, I know the Book of Boba Fett's meant to be a bit more of a slow burn, and it's meant to be a different show with its own feeling. And I'm largely enjoying it. But
same.
Fuck. Like,
but
as soon as they said,
this episode
you can
reminded
buy muscle,
me.
And then that, like, familiar sting happened. Oh, I was so in, so down for more Din Djarin. Oh, man. And yet,
Let's save Book of Boba Fett. We'll do an episode on it when the season finishes.
Fair enough. Cool. Considering how far through this episode we already are, man.
Yeah. It might just be easier.
But if you're a Mando fan and you're not planning to watch Book of Boba Fett, just watch episode 5. Because it's just more Mando.
Yep. Encanto?
Yes. Oh, fuck yes.
I told you you'd like it, Cal.
Dude.
Why don't you ever listen to me?
Because every time you tell me I will like something, my spine runs in the opposite direction, and I don't want to
and then
have
you,
anything to do with it.
And then you watch it, and you like it.
Dude, it might be
names,
better than Moana.
Or Big Call. I think, actually, it definitely has a better story than Moana.
Yeah.
Because I love Moana, and the music in Moana is incredible.
Yeah.
But Moana is just an adventure, and it's a little back and forthy.
It's just a bit... Because it's wandery, because that's the point. Like, it's...
Yes.
It's just someone looking for answers, and that doesn't necessarily...
So they find a bunch of stuff that's not the answers?
Yeah.
On the way to get the answer, yeah.
Well, and they interact with a bunch of characters that have basically nothing to do with their problem,
mm-hmm.
but and kind of have a link to the solution, but not really. Like, it's just a bit like...
Yeah.
Here's how you can connect with your, like, heritage, but also how you can be your own person. And it doesn't actually like answer any of those questions. She just sort of does it by doing things, which is a good enough message in itself. But Encanto, everything in Encanto is about the plot.
To be clear, Moana is incredible, but yes, everything in Encanto is deliberate and leads to the next thing.
Yeah.
Oh, and so well done.
You can tell that it...
I love that she didn't get powers at the end too.
I mean...
I was worried that was going to be a thing.
Look.
Spoilers.
That's probably, like, if there's a direct-to-VHS Encanto 2, that's absolutely what it will be.
And sure, fine. But I won't watch it.
Yeah, it's just so not the point.
No.
Yeah, like it just doesn't matter if she gets powers or not, I don't think.
And that bit where her grandma's telling the story of them running away.
Oh, fuck.
She's like, hey, do you want to be punched in the heart?
Yeah, you want your heart to be kicked right in the dick. And, oh man, Strong Girls song got me.
Oh, with the donkeys?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't remember any characters' names, which is really bad, except either. Bruno.
Because they make a big point that you have to remember his name. Oh, and when he's drawn his plate on the table. Oh, your heart dick. It's kicked.
Stop talking. Stop saying things.
Everything about this show I just really enjoyed.
Movie.
Yeah, let's call it that. Because that's what it is. The performance...
I'm sending you a thing my sister made.
Oh, yeah?
It's pretty cool. Yeah.
Oh, yeah? Little Bruno?
She makes like these... Yeah, she makes like clay figures.
Yeah, nice.
Like, Bruno's adorable. And I'm just like, the little rats he had, adorable.
Yeah. And just like the visuals on everything and like the costume design. Like, man, like Bruno's poncho having little hourglasses on it that are just stylized.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of wish that this was like a 4-hour-long musical with like 3 intermissions. Like,
yeah.
That where we could explore the like how pressure's affecting the shape-shifting kid and the mum who cooks and like all the characters that really didn't get a focus.
Yeah,
but this movie really knew which ones were important.
Yeah.
Mm.
Oh, and both sisters though, like their personal stories.
Yeah.
All of them. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
And it's completely driven by character.
Yep.
And the world's really nice. It's really pretty.
Mm.
And the music is good.
And is her name Stephanie Beatrice from Brooklyn Nine-Nine? As the main character
Yeah.
She's got some pipes, man.
Yeah. That's just so good.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen it, it's on Disney Plus. I'm a little annoyed with Disney throwing all these like amazing animated movies straight on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
As if they don't like they did the same with Luca. They did the same with this. I think they're doing the same with another one that's coming out soon.
As if their entire like castle wasn't built on great animated movies.
Exactly. And I know they don't rake in the box office that, you know, a Spider-Man does, but you know, it's not the point.
Yeah. Yeah, and, like, it's a bit weird and interesting that, like, Disney's target audience is shifting older. Like, it's just, like, even the kids-friendly family stuff is, like the people who enjoy Encanto the most are going to be people my age rather than kids.
I think that's a symptom of two things.
Mm.
Kids that watch Disney as children now growing up and still wanting to watch the stuff they watched as children.
Totally.
And also Disney diversifying, which they always have done.
Yeah.
And they made like Swiss Family Robinson, Shipwreck, like these classic Disney movies that were like live action and bad, but about kids getting like, you know, attacked and by pirates and shit. Like it's always something Disney's done.
Yeah, no, definitely.
But you're right, more so, like, Marvel and Star Wars have really given them a different angle.
And I think what I mean to say is that, though, like, Disney made all of those movies, and the biggest movies they released were the animated Disney Princess stuff. Like,
yeah.
And look, Brianne's probably rolling around angry at me, but because I'm absolutely wrong here, but it seems like they were going, well, the real money maker are these kids friendly animated family movies. We just make the other stuff because we want to, or because we can. And now it's like, no, the real money makers are the big crossover superhero movies, and we just make the other stuff because we can or because we want.
No, I think I think you are right. Especially throughout the 90s and the 80s, starting kind of with The Little Mermaid, the Disney, I think they call it the Renaissance.
Yeah.
When they kind of came back, they made those super successful animated movies again.
Yep.
Beauty and the Beast, like, you know, won Best Picture at the Oscars.
Yeah.
Best Picture, not Best Animated Movie. The Best Animated Movie category exists
because of that.
Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah. Because they don't want any more animated movies winning Best Picture.
Because they're like, well, every year an animated movie's going to win.
Well, because you can do more fantastical, emotionally intense things with animation.
And then what happened was, because Disney just goes through different eras, right? So the Disney animated studio started, you know, they went from the Renaissance, the Beauty and the Beasts, to making Home on the Range. and stuff like Atlantis and
Atlantis and Treasure Planet.
And Treasure Planet, which are both great but bombed. No one saw them.
They're such big cult classics now.
They are now, but they lost a lot of money.
Yeah.
But at that same time, what was making them a lot of money was Pixar.
Yeah.
So Pixar became the new standard. And then it kind of shifted back after Princess and the Frog. You know, Disney made Tangled, then they made Frozen, and that's Disney, that's not Pixar.
Yeah.
So now Disney's making the Pixar-level quality stuff. While Pixar's still doing that, they're kind of lower key. They're not raking in the same money they used to either. Mm. Except with, like, with your Toy Stories and that.
Mm.
So it just comes in waves, and obviously, yeah, now the Marvel stuff is the biggest budget stuff and making more money than Star Wars, which is, you know, insane.
Mm. I mean, yeah, like, obviously it has to come and go with the talent, and not being an industry insider, I wouldn't really know what that means, but Lin-Manuel Miranda must be making them so much fucking money. Like, and...
What else has he done for them?
Moana.
Right. Did he do Moana?
Yeah. Well, like, he did all the music and stuff, like... I don't think he directed it, maybe. He might.
No, I don't think.
But yeah, so like, I think Encanto is a bit more, like, has more control with him, but I'm not 100% on that.
Well, and after Hamilton, he's...
Yeah, he's earned his chops, man.
Or, you know,
and Hamilton's on Disney Plus, so I assume the distribution rights are somewhat of a Disney product.
Of course it is. Yes, of course it is. Yes. Yes, of course it is.
And yeah, like between that and just... securing great casting in other things early on, and like the talent of Jon Favreau has to have been completely undersold right at the beginning, like, because he was working with Marvel and Paramount before Disney had anything to do with Marvel, so to have scooped him up in all of that, and then he's made the
and
best Star Wars that's
the,
ever been
the
made
best Star Wars show.
Yeah
I fucking hate Star Wars fans, man. We'll talk about it more at the Boba Fett episode.
Okay.
It is one of the most toxic... I know we talk a lot about toxic fans, but it is one of the most toxic fandoms I think I've ever seen. Because just the inconsistency in them.
At the risk of going back to Matrix, it's that idea of like attachment to things giving you suffering. And learning to let go, and that, like the spoon, Star Wars isn't even a real thing. Like, Star Wars doesn't actually exist in any way that makes any, that should have any sway over your life.
It's, what pisses me off the most is, like, you get a Last Jedi, which I loved, but you don't have to. If you don't like the Last Jedi, that's cool, man. I love the Phantom Menace, and there's an entire generation above me that fucking hates it.
Yeah.
It's cool. But I tell you what, it's like, the amount of hate, like, Kathleen Kennedy gets for the Last Jedi, her and Rian Johnson, I'm like, all right, sure, you didn't like what they did with it. That doesn't mean Kathleen Kennedy should resign or step down because you didn't like it. It still made them a lot of money, which was the end goal. Also, you can't then laud Jon Favreau and The Mandalorian as quintessential Star Wars, because you know who also produces that, you dumb fuck? It's your arch nemesis, Kathleen Kennedy, who signed off on that one. You absolute idiots.
I agree. She shouldn't step down for The Last Jedi. She should step down for Rise of Skywalker.
No. J.J. Abrams.
Just give him his severance package. He can live on that. Forever. He can live to 400 and still live on that. Like, just
look,
cut him off. Be done with it.
But The Rise of Skywalker, well, I think it's terrible. I'm like, this was clearly reactionary and it was out of fear. And I get why they did what they did. I think they should have stuck to their guns, but I understand why they made the choices they made, even though they were terrible choices.
Yeah.
And it's because of those dumb, loud fans on the internet again. It's because of that negative reaction to The Last Jedi.
But, like, anyway, you can blame the fans all you want. People higher up made the decision to make shit movies. Like,
sure. And then they made The Mandalorian, which is great.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's like,
and they're not going to retcon the sequels, everybody. Shut up. It's not going to happen. Chill.
Fuck, I kind of wish they would.
Every fucking day I see a new article. No, because I like the characters, and I think
just
there's
redo
enough
it,
left. No, but why? Because I think the
so
world
it cannot
is left
be
in an
shit,
interesting
Sam.
Position. No, because Cal, as you know, Star Wars, bit shit. Yeah.
I mean, that is the main thing. Ultimately, let it go. Let them be out there. Doesn't actually matter. You want good Star Wars, just watch Mando. You're good. Like,
and The Rise of Skywalker ends in a position where there's a lot of room to do a lot more. And that is what I'm like, that's fine. Like, it's, I don't think it has to be over. Do more with it now, you know? Do another animated show like The Clone Wars, following the adventures of Rey and Finn and Poe.
Anyway, we're at an hour.
And they're doing The Mandalorian now, which is going to tie up the, which is going to bridge the distance between Return of the Jedi to The Force Awakens, and I'm interested to see how they get to that point. Like, the only bad stuff in the sequels is some minor details in The Rise of Skywalker, which kind of undo a lot, and it's mostly the Palpatine stuff.
Dude, we're at 58 minutes.
Nah, you got me started on Star Wars, Cal. This is
no,
on you.
No, I didn't.
Or did I bring up Star Wars?
I think you probably did, yeah.
Did I become the very thing I sought to destroy, Cal?
Speaking of destruction, Don't Look Up.
Oh, God. I thought, yeah, political podcast.
Dude, I nearly vetoed this. I nearly just said, I don't want to fucking watch this. So
you didn't have to. I just was putting on anything I watched.
Yeah, no, and fair enough. I nearly just said nah to this. I like.
What did you think, though? It's pretty good.
Look, my worry going in was that the only joke in the film has already been told to me by anybody telling me the premise.
Yeah.
And I think that was 100% correct. There's nothing else to this movie, really. Like,
well, but it's not really a joke. Like, it's a character study. Like, it's a look at people and how they operate in relation to the world around them.
Yeah. I don't know. I hear a lot of people talking about this, like, oh, it's scary because of how accurate it is. And I'm like, this seems like a cartoon. Like,
the problem is, right?
Yeah.
We currently have a cartoon as Prime Minister, Cal. That's what I think makes people go, is this real?
Dude, we only elect cartoon characters because people like cartoons. Democracy is just a searchlight trying to find a cartoon character.
I liked it. I thought it was, I didn't think it was subtle. I thought it was well made with good performances.
Oh, totally.
And that's what I enjoyed about it. On the other hand, it was very upsetting overall.
And that was partly where I was like, I'm just like, I'm not in the mood for something to upset me right now.
Yeah, I also watched it when I was like, I was not in the mood to be upset. But, you know.
It's fine for movies
sometimes,
like that to exist.
It's not always convenient.
Totally. And, like, DCAP's performances was great. Like, him having...
Jennifer Lawrence, too.
Totally.
like
and Timothy Chalamet again.
Yeah,
get
I know,
out of
right?
here, bruh.
Yeah.
You're in everything.
Look, but he's so classic.
And you're
handsome.
Good. He's pretty good in everything.
Yeah.
I fucking love little potatoes or whatever he says.
Yeah, fingerling potatoes. Yeah,
that's it.
Dude,
yeah.
He was one bloody miscast away from being Spider-Man, I'm sure.
Oh, there's a parallel universe.
Absolutely.
Parallel universe.
Yeah.
I don't think we should dwell on this movie too much, though.
No,
or I'll get existential.
I don't think anybody really should. I don't know. I think this is a little bit just sort of overhyped. It's kind, like, it's good, and the dinner scene at the end was heartbreaking. I never laughed in this satire. Like, I...
Yeah, I had a couple of chuckles, but I didn't find it funny, per se.
The running gag of, like, why would the Pentagon, like, army guy charge them for snacks? Like, is it a power play? Like, what's going on? Like, mildly humorous. May have gotten a sharp exhale out of me that could have been interpreted as a laugh. Like, one of those.
That, something like that.
Yeah, less vocal work. More nasal, but yes. Yeah, I was completely untaken by this movie.
That's fair enough. I did find it more upsetting than I found it funny, but I have a feel. It just feels like a movie that's not gonna, age well.
Well, and the
it feels like a movie made for now. It's very much made for now,
and
I get why people want. Like, I get why people enjoyed a movie, and I did enjoy this movie.
One more,
I get why it was made.
One more thought I have on it. Is that, like, while it doesn't have to be a perfect analogy, I think it undermines itself by making the comment at, like, it's supposedly an allegory for climate change, but it has this really simple solution to the point where they nearly solve the issue once and only don't solve the issue twice more because of technical fuck-ups. Like, I know that the point is supposed to be that once it's too late. But it's not the point if it's supposed to be about climate change, because climate change is really fucking complicated, really hard to solve. You can't solve it by just strapping a bunch of nukes onto Hellboy and launching him into space.
It is, the climate change thing, though, is simple in the regards that there are a few people who could make all the change required very easily for them. But it would cut into their profit, so they don't want to do
and
it.
And this is the discussion that I don't necessarily want to have, because I don't think it's ever going to be productive.
No, because we're an hour long into a podcast about movies.
Correct.
Cal.
We should move the
so
fuck on.
So should we talk about movies?
Yeah, sure.
Ghostbusters Afterlife.
Okay.
Spoilers for Ghostbusters Afterlife.
Yes. Had not Timothy Chalamet in it. Who?
No.
It had
not once.
It had Finn Wolfhard.
Yep. It did. Yep. I'd literally just watched this.
Yeah. I saw it about two weeks ago, nearly, in cinemas.
Pretty good.
Yeah. Just a fun little time.
Yeah, I was surprised at how fun it was.
Mm.
I really liked the main character, Phoebe.
Yeah, I thought you probably would.
I found her very endearing. I liked when she tried to kill a cop.
Yeah, she did do that.
If
didn't
you
she?
Haven't seen the movie, I'm being a little hyperbolic, but also not that hyperbolic.
Yeah,
she pointed a nuclear ray at his face. It didn't take itself too seriously,
which is very good.
I was worried that it would in the trailers.
Well,
because people. This is another thing with, like, fandoms, but then also creators, is stuff we loved as a kid, we hold on to with such seriousness.
And
if you watch the original Ghostbusters, there's nothing serious about it.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a comedy.
Yeah, it's a comedy about essentially exterminators. They just exterminate ghosts.
Yeah, it's meant to be somewhat
and
absurd.
They talk about, you know, abnormally large Twinkies.
Mm.
And the same with the second one. In the second one, there's like a dancing toaster.
Mm.
And even the same with the remake,
mm.
Which I still don't mind, but it is not amazing and should have done what this movie did, where it's set in the same world.
Mm.
I think people would be more forgiving of it.
Man, because just the advertising on that movie retroactively made it a mess. Like, because the advertising was like, it's a sequel. And then you go see it, and it's not. It's a reboot. And it just, I don't know, man.
And you can't make reboots anymore. It's all got to be requels, Cal.
And like we've covered that movie enough, but I think that a lot of people were sort of on their high horse about this movie when it was being made. They were like, cool, this is going to be the movie that the last one should have been. And this is going to solve all the problems. And it's like, dude, you're getting your hopes set too high, man. Like,
and also, what does it matter? What did the other movie ruin exactly? Well, and this, it was just an okay movie.
Well, and this is exactly what, like, I think, at the risk of going back to Star Wars, I think this is what people were expecting out of the sequel trilogy. They were like, yes, this is going to fix how terrible the last trilogy was. And
at first, everyone was like, woo, it's doing it. And then they kept doing what they did that they thought people loved about it. People were like, we don't like this anymore.
Well, and with Ghostbusters Afterlife, I've heard people complain that it was a little bit too safe. I don't necessarily agree with that. I think taking that...
They took it out of New York, which I thought was a really good decision.
Definitely. I think making it more of a kids movie, like about kids.
Kids on Bikes is in.
Yeah.
Just make a Kids on Bikes story. Why not?
Kind of. Like, because this kind of was that, like, with Finn Wolfhard getting his first car and getting that freedom that way.
There was literally a kid rolling a bike on it. It's a Kids on Bikes movie.
Sure.
I don't care what you say.
It's kind of not. Because, like, I mean, it is a bit of a coming of age in that, like, the parents, like, the parental figures get taken out of commission at some point. Spoilers.
Mm-hmm.
When the kids have to take over, it's them claiming that independence.
Another spoiler was the worst bit where the Ghostbusters actually showed up at the end, because I think that might be the worst bit.
I get it, and I'm kind of like, look, because the thing is, now that I've forgotten his name, now that old mate's dead, you can't have all of the Ghostbusters.
What's his name? Norman?
No. Harold Ramis?
Harold Ramis.
Yeah.
Harold Ramis.
Now that he's dead, you can't have all four of them on screen at once. And it was a ridiculous shame that we never quite got to do that. Like, that opportunity cost, I think, weighed heavily on, I think, a lot of people's decisions about that movie. I think that's probably the only reason why Bill Murray was in the last one.
Yeah, maybe.
It's because he felt like if he doesn't show some respect to the fans by showing up to one of these movies, then he might not get another chance. And I'm glad that he took this chance as well.
And it was even like with Ghost Igor,
yeah,
which looked amazing,
very good. Yeah,
it looked pretty good. And it was pretty nice seeing all four. Like, they rocked up, and I'm like, this is a bit lame. But then Ghost Him showed up, and they got all four of them on screen. I'm like, all right, this is a nice moment.
Like,
I like this.
I kind of wish they had turned up a little too late. And
yes. Like, they didn't actually help much.
Like, they just turned up, and then was just like, cool. Right, we're here to help. We saw the lights. Like, we got your phone call. We're here to help. What can we do? And they go, no, we're done.
Yeah.
And then,
yeah, Ghost... that was kind of the thing, because when they rocked up, I'm like, oh, is it just going to be them saving? I like that they crossed the streamers and then it didn't work.
Yeah, I guess.
But I do agree with you. I think that might have been a better way to go.
Well, and like, because the point was to have them all stand in a row and maybe hug the ghost and sort of just say goodbye to the franchise. And have a sort of tribute to Harold Ramis. And it's like, that's, I think all of that was achieved and that was quite good. And like, cause I think if the movie was bad and they did that, it would have felt like a real, like the audience is just getting their nose rubbed in how shit the movie was by them going, ah, we don't need your help, old guys. Us kids in the shit movie are here. Yeah. Like, yeah. Like, if that had happened at the end of the last movie, it probably would have felt really sort of offensive to be like, oh, we don't need any of the old characters anymore because we've got these good new characters in this movie nobody likes.
Yeah. It did feel like an attempt to get fans back on side after the last one as well because, yeah. you know, you got Zool back as the main villain and,
yeah.
you know. But they tied it all in quite nicely. Yeah. Like Paul Rudd as the Keymaster this time.
Yeah. And I really liked
pretty fun.
Paul Rudd and I can't remember the main actress's name because I don't think I've seen very much with her in it, but she's apparently quite good. I don't know, but yeah, the parents in this, the parental figures in this were really quite good.
It is Carrie Coon, maybe?
That sounds right.
Wait, is that...
Yeah, she was great. And... Phoebe. Oh,
that's where I know her from.
What do you know her from?
The main girl, McKenna Grace, who played Phoebe, is yeah. in a movie called Gifted.
Okay.
With Chris Evans, and she's a little girl in it. And it's quite a nice movie.
Fair enough.
And she's phenomenal in that.
Okay.
So that's why she's good in this too.
Fair enough. And like anyway. I think it's always hard doing a character like Phoebe on screen. Like doing justice to somebody who's not neurotypical is hard without it feeling like a caricature. And I think they did a pretty good job with her. They also didn't fall into the trap of like trying to show that she's smart. Like they did a pretty good job of showing her like knowing things that she shouldn't know. And well, like, in The Amazing Spider-Man, they do a whole lot of like, oh, Peter, you're so bloody smart. How did you write down this thing off camera and hold it up slightly off screen?
Do you not remember how he came up with that?
What do you mean?
He stole it out of his dad's briefcase. That's where he got the formula. He like points to his brain like he came up with it himself.
Yeah.
He just took it.
Fair enough. But like they do a pretty bad job of showing how smart Peter Parker is in that movie. And I think that's a trap you can easily fall into.
I disagree. Because they just show him building the watch. They're not like, Peter, but when you were a kid, you won the science fair with your amazing watch that shot projectiles.
Oh, they absolutely could have done it worse.
Fair enough.
My point is there's a trap here Ghostbusters Afterlife didn't fall into it with Phoebe.
Yeah.
I don't think much anyway. There was a lot of like sun in your eyes in this movie though.
Very pretty too, actually. It looked nice.
It did. Like splitting the cast across not multiple it was multiple generations, but like the little kids, the teenagers, and the adults like all felt distinctly at different stages in their lives and interacted in ways that felt believable, but without being condescending to the other groups. Like it was just sort of wholesome and nice. And really that's the trick to getting me to like a movie is for things to just be wholesome.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fair. It was directed by Jason Reitman, who's the son of the original director.
Yeah.
Ivan.
Yeah.
So I think there was also like a bit of like, it very much deals with legacy. And I feel that that very much came across in the direction.
Yeah.
I don't know. I liked it all right. I thought it was actually a pretty good film.
Yeah. I think it's going to be somebody's favorite. Maybe not favorite Ghostbusters movie, but...
No, but if you like the Ghostbusters, I don't see any... Or if you like Stranger Things, I don't see any reason why you wouldn't like this.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
Do you want me to quickly talk at you about the other things on this list?
Yeah, sure.
And then we'll move on. So Five Cream... or Scream.
Was it actually called Five Cream?
No.
Or was it just called Scream?
I think it should have been called Five Cream.
I agree.
But they have a joke about it in the movie.
Of course they do.
They're like, why'd they call it Stab and not Stab 8? It's just lazy. It's very funny. There's no bad Scream movie.
Sure.
It's very weird.
Sure.
I forget that every time that I bring Scream up, it makes me want to end the podcast and never talk to you again.
Look, all I'm saying, it's just, it thinks it's so fucking clever.
No, you think you're more clever. I don't think it does think it's as clever. I think it's just doing what it does honestly.
Yeah, but all it does is sit on its high horse, pointing at things about horror movies. And you're like, yeah, that is true. How clever.
What is this podcast, guys? What is it? Explain it to me.
You're trying to say that's all that we do?
Do we just point at things and go, hey, look at that?
But it's not, hey, look at that. It's, aren't we clever for noticing that thing and setting our lampshade firmly down on top of it?
Yeah, that's literally all we do.
That's not what we do at all.
Hey, did you see the bit in the movie where this happened? It's like, yeah, we watched the same movie.
All we do is complain about that.
Well, true. Anyway, Scream, the new Scream is really good. If you like the Scream movies, I think you'll enjoy it. It's, if you ask me, I think it's better than 3 and 4.
Oof.
Even though I like the villain, I'm not going to spoil the villain for the Scream, but I like the villain in Scream 4 more. But I think overall, this is a better movie. Because what it really does is it holds off on the original cast a little bit.
Right.
It doesn't overuse them. It really gives the new characters time to breathe.
Yeah.
And be their own characters. And they're really good.
Fair enough.
Like, I really enjoyed watching them. And it has some few, it has a few twists on the Scream formula that's a little bit different to what Scream usually does, which makes me go, that's interesting. I wonder what we're doing with that now. Mm. While also still doing all the things you expect from Scream and being super meta while it does it. So I liked it.
Fair enough. I believe you. I will probably not watch it or Scream 4.
You suck. The next thing on the list that you did not watch is... Sorry, I've lost my list. Do you have it there?
I do
Bump.
Have it.
Bump is a Stan original series. So I don't know where you can watch it outside of Australia. It's so fucking good. And I'll explain it to you and you'll go, why did you watch that and why should I? And all I'm going to say is, you should.
Fair enough.
It's about an ambitious teenager in high school.
Yep.
Who suddenly, without realizing she was pregnant, has a baby.
Right, okay.
And then it's her dealing with the fallout of that, how it relates to the father of the child, her family, her life at school, her own ambitions still. It's, the drama in it is so addicting because the characters are so well written. And the things that happen like throughout the show are pretty, like... It's pretty standard. I don't want to say it's standard. The situation is weird, but it's not the first time, you know, ever seen.
It sounds like Juno, but
yeah,
with a bit more of a focus on the future.
But the characters are so great, and they're so Australian. like the father's an immigrant, you know, from an immigrant family, from Puerto Rico. And his relation to, you know, his family and his legacy and conflict, the way it conflicts with, you know, the Australian culture that he's grown up in. It's honestly, the characters and the story is what makes it, like, the characters and how they operate within the world is what makes it so engaging to watch. And the main two characters, I've gone blank on everyone's names in it, but they, and they're like, you know, they're teenagers. They are so good in it. So good.
Fair enough. I did watch the trailer for this.
Yeah.
I
didn't. Okay. I didn't even watch a trailer. I don't know why I clicked on it. It just popped up on Stan. I saw it was Australian. It briefly played a clip. You know how Stan auto plays a clip like Netflix? And yeah. I'm like, oh, that was a funny joke. I'll put on an episode.
Yeah.
Sucking me straight in. Man, just grabbed me and pulled me straight into it.
That's good. Like, I complain a little bit about how there's so little spontaneity on, like, with watching shows these days because, like, there aren't that many ways to discover shows that aren't word of mouth. Like, you sort
or
of
algorithm.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I kind of want the free-to-air experience where I just happen to stumble across something sometimes, but then to have the option to follow that up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And in the same vein, Wolf Like Me,
yes,
is a Stan original here, but I think it was co-funded with Peacock in the US.
Yes.
Did you watch a trailer for this?
I did. And man, like, because it's so obvious what the plot is just from the title.
Yes.
But the trailer really just doesn't lean on that at all. Like, it seems to very much be about the family. It is.
It's so good. I'm not going to say anything about it here. Just go watch it. I'm not going to spoil anything about it. Because I also think you should just go watch it without watching a trailer. Because I wish I hadn't.
What I want to know before I go in, and we can cut this if it's not a good question. All right. How likely is it to get season two?
If it doesn't get a season two,
yeah,
I won't be disappointed because the story does a really good job of telling its whole narrative in one go.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know. I wanted to know whether I was committing for a long term. Like,
I don't think you are. And this might sway you even more, Cal.
Yeah.
It's written and directed by the same guy who wrote and directed the Little Monsters movie.
Ooh, okay. I was wondering why Josh Gad was in this.
Yeah, right?
Like, because this is the second Australian-ish production I've seen him in.
Josh Gad came here and was like, fuck, I do not want to leave. Give me more work.
I was theorizing that he either has a house here or he's here a lot because they film a lot here.
Well, it probably both. At this point, so it does the same thing. It gives an interesting spin to an interesting Australian spin to a kind of traditional story. The main characters aren't Australian, including Isla Fisher, which is a bit weird. I think that's part of that American funding. It's not that Americans can't relate to a non-American character, but I think Isla Fish is mostly known for playing Americans over there. So I wonder if that's the reason. But also they give an in-story reason for it too, so it's also totally fine.
Yeah.
And as characters, they bond over that mutual, like, immigrant, again, you know, experience.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. Go watch it. Find out where you can watch it in your country and watch it. It's so good. And if you're in Australia, watch it on Stan. If you're in the US, I'm guessing it'll be on Peacock or whatever their streaming service is.
Yeah, at least I'm pretty sure that was on the trailer for it, that it was Peacock.
So. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So here it's a Stan original.
Yeah.
I would like to see more of this, like co-funding shows with international broadcasters and making them here.
Mm.
Shows like this, like, I want to see more like this.
Yeah. Yeah, fair enough. And for a 6-episode commitment, it sounds like it's a pretty good time.
And I watched it all in one night. I wasn't planning to, but they're barely half an hour.
Okay.
They're not like 40 or 50 minutes. They're like half an hour each.
Yeah, so it's like a 3-hour.
It's basically a 3-hour film.
Okay. That's not that bad. That's less than an Endgame.
It is, yeah. And you don't have to watch it in one sitting because it is a TV show. It's still broken up episodically somewhat, but I watched it with James. It was like 11 o'clock at night and we decided to just watch an episode and then we watched all of it until like 1 o'clock in the morning because just super engaging.
Yeah, nice.
So those are Sam's two recommendations.
Totally. I will briefly take this opportunity to recommend, just to say, I know I've said it on a few episodes now, but I've been watching Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I just finished season 3, which is apparently where a lot of people stop.
Interesting.
As far as I can tell so far, like it's quite a nice conclusive ending. I can definitely recommend. It is just a good time all around, I think. At some point, yeah, you should watch it. We should talk about it.
At some point, I'm sure I will. Brianne will make me watch it at some point.
I've watched basically a season a week for the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, nice.
So, yeah, it's good enough that's been the pace that I've been watching it at.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Anyway, that's us all caught up, I think.
The final thing I'm going to recommend, while we're out recommending things, I've already recommended this to you, and it's not currently on the air. But Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist.
Yeah, which...
because you love music and you love magic realism, just watch the pilot and see how you feel.
That's a show.
It's a show. It's on Stan and it's done. There were two seasons that got cancelled and then they made a movie to finish the plot. I haven't actually seen the movie yet, so maybe I'll come back and say, don't watch it, Kel. It ruins everything. But I'm enjoying it.
We shall see. Cool. Yeah. What have you been watching?
Anyway,
tweet us at Video Shop Pod.
That's exactly what I was going to ask. Yep, that's the question. Mm. What are you watching?
Mm.
What should we do next week?
Yeah, do we even have plans for that? I don't even know what's out.
No, I don't know what's out either. Is there new stuff out yet?
I don't know. What should we watch? Tweet us at Video Shop Pod.
Yeah, I'm sure there's something new coming out. Or there's something out right now.
Surely.
That we haven't seen. Uncharted is out on February 17th.
Jesus.
That's 2 weeks away.
I heard nothing about this movie besides that it was being made and then I saw a trailer for it.
I haven't even seen a trailer for it.
Like
the first week of March, the Batman comes out.
Oof, that's a big drop. Look, I haven't seen, I haven't played any of the Uncharted games, so maybe Uncharted isn't the way to go, but if you really want us to talk about it, let us know.
I think Death on the Nile comes out on the 10th.
The last one was so bad, Sam.
It was so bad. I'm almost fine to just not do an episode on that one, if I'm being perfectly honest. Sing 2 is out.
I haven't seen the first Sing. Apparently it's all right.
Me either, and we're not watching Sing 2. House of Gucci is meant to be great.
Ugh, I mean, I don't know anything about it, but that...
Adam Driver and Lady Gaga.
I mean, that's half a good reason to watch it.
Lady Gaga's a good reason to watch things, Cal.
Adam Driver's a good reason to watch things.
Adam Driver is an amazing reason to watch things.
Lady Gaga doesn't sell me.
Fair enough. That movie Moonfall comes out. Maybe we'll do Moonfall.
That's the Chewbacca movie, yeah?
What?
Because
being crushed by a moon, yep. In the old canon, yep. Yeah.
The legend.
No, a mysterious force knocks the moon from its orbit around Earth and sends it hurtling on a collision course with life as we know it.
So it's Don't Look Up again.
I think this one's directed by Roland Emmerich.
I couldn't tell you anything else that he's done, but I definitely know that name.
Independence Day and every disaster movie since then.
Oh, okay. That could be fun then. 2012 was fun.
I like Day After Tomorrow.
Fair enough. I haven't seen
Jackass Forever's out.
No, it isn't.
The Kingsman's still showing, apparently.
Jesus. I forgot about that movie.
Yeah, maybe we'll do that one. I saw Nightmare Alley yesterday. That was upsetting.
Okay.
What else have we got? Oh, we're getting into the slumps now of these screenings. Oh, there's that Hating Game movie.
I don't even know what that is.
Based on a rom-com book, so you're probably not going to do an episode on that. King Richard is meant to be awesome.
Fair enough. I don't think we're going to find anything if we dig too deep, dig in any further. Maybe, what was that, the Last Duel? Apparently that was a big deal.
Yeah, it's not out anymore, apparently.
Yeah, fair enough. We'll probably stream
but
it
also,
somewhere.
I don't care.
Me either. It just sort of, I don't know, people seem
like
to make
I get
a
it.
Out of it.
But just like, yeah, I get it.
Maybe that was just marketing.
Or historical real thing was Last Duel. Thing that happened. I don't know. I don't care. I'm kind of... Game of Thrones burnt me out on nighty stuff, I think.
But he take that.
D&D. You know, until the new Game of Thrones comes out. And back
because it looks all right, doesn't it?
It looks all right. you sons of bitches. Maybe we'll do Moonfall.
You know, it's a horrendous thought, Sam, and I know I shouldn't bring this up. We should just end the podcast here, but we are like less than 2 years away from the 60th anniversary of Doctor Who. Yeah.
We're getting a new Doctor in the 60th year.
So that
which seems crazy.
So that'll be new Doctor, Jodie Whittaker, David Tennant, Peter Capaldi, Matt Smith, David Tennant, and maybe Christopher Eccleston.
Paul McGann.
And maybe Paul McGann. That might be 7 fucking doctors, my dude.
Or none of them come back. David Tennant will do it. I'm not convinced the others will.
Dude, I reckon they all will, man.
You think?
Mate, I think so. Like, Eccleston's playing ball with Big Finish at this point.
Maybe.
Man, I hope they do, because they can't get John Hurt.
I would love to see Eccleston come back.
It would be pretty sick. Anyway, we can't go on a tangent about this. I'm sorry.
I don't know why you brought up Doctor Who.
Tweet
again.
Tweet us at Video Shop Pod. What are you watching? Yep. What should we watch?
And that's it.
See you next.
Bye.